Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Steeler country, let's smelt. Or let's forge. Let's galvanize. Let's Three Rivers.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to it. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. And yes, you're waking up to the news that Russell Wilson's going to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers when free agency officially begins. A one-year deal worth about $1 million, which means the Broncos will be paying the Pittsburgh Steelers to play Russell Wilson this year. As the Broncos will be on the hook for $38 million and the Steelers $1 million. Good morning, Mark Schlereth. What's your reaction?
Let's cry. Good. Good for Russell Wilson. Good for us. Good for the Broncos. They play. They're going to play the Yinzers.
They're going to play. Yep.
They're going to play the Yinzers, so that's a great thing. Good for him. But you know what? I wish him nothing but the best. I hope it all works out.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You really want it to work out? You want the Broncos to look bad for letting him go?
No, I don't want
the Broncos. Because if it works out really well, they'll look bad.
No. Well, I mean, I want it to work out for him. I want it to work out for the Broncos. Does it look really bad that Cleveland let Baker Mayfield go? Or that the Rams let Baker Mayfield go? Or that the Carolina Panthers let Baker Mayfield go?
Geez, how many teams did he play for?
Four. He just signed a big, deal. But, hey, listen, man, it didn't work out here. He was really bad. It was an awful experiment. It did not work out. I don't wish him ill will or anything. I want it to work out. I want him to go. I'm just glad he's not here.
Well, as evidenced by your timeline over the weekend on Twitter, on X, there are those who definitely will miss him and definitely will be rooting for him. The Rusties, you were at war with the Rusties all weekend long. Some very entertaining tweets from you.
I wonder how many of those accounts he actually operates.
A lot of burner accounts?
Yeah, like his people operate.
His people, yes.
Because they all have like a name with a 4683421. It's just a bot. So
I know I saw you referring to another Russell bot.
Right. But listen, man, I'm just happy it's over here. I'm happy we've moved on. I'm happy we're purging the roster. I'm happy that there's recognition that it just hasn't been good enough and that we've ripped off the, the proverbial band-aid and we're moving in the right direction.
Well, part of ripping that Band-Aid, the Jerry Jeudy trade that went down on Friday after we were done. They get a fifth and a sixth rounder for Jerry Jeudy, but they also clear up about $13 million of cap space by unloading his contract. So keep that in mind when you're assessing the return value for the trade. It was the fifth, the sixth, but it was also unloading his salary and creating more cap space to the point where, as the Broncos get set for free agency, which starts, basically it starts this morning at 10 a.m. our time. It's the legal tampering period. Free agency doesn't officially begin until Wednesday, but you're going to be starting to hear about deals at 10:05, which, so much for legal tampering. It means legal tampering is going on right now. But initial thoughts on the trade?
I'm glad they moved on. Jerry Jeudy was, Ashley Lee was better than Jerry Jeudy. I mean, you look at first-round busts, you can't consider him anything other than a first-round bust. And, yeah, he's got talent, and, yeah, he's quick, and he's got good feet, and this, that. Dropped too many balls, didn't want to block people, didn't want to run secondary routes. Like, all the things that make you a good football player, he was none of those things. And so, talent's wasted on talented guys. Good luck. I hope he goes to Cleveland. I hope he rectifies his career, but you saw what the worth on the open market was, a fifth and sixth rounder.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically just shipping him out to get rid of salary. So, yeah, like I've said this for 2 years now, he's a talented guy. He's just not a good football player. Bar none. No, there is zero. You cannot argue that. Well, I mean, you can, but you're wrong. You can argue it with me all day long, but you're an idiot. Like, it just is, it's unfortunate. You know, it's unfortunate. And this goes back to rectifying the mistakes of the past, the draft picks of the past. Remember when everybody was excited about Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler? They didn't amount to be worth a squirt of piss, either of those draft picks. And so I, for one, I'm glad they're recognizing the mistakes of the past and they're clearing them up.
Also, over the weekend, the Nuggets, off that exhilarating playoff style, NBA Finals style, win over the Celtics, followed up with a game against Utah, which they had them blown out early, and then squandered, what was it, a 39-point lead down to 14, and Michael Malone, even after a victory, not happy.
I'll take a win all day. I mean, an ugly win is better than a pretty loss. So I'll take the win, but I'm not going to let this slide and say this is acceptable. And, you know, again, for me, it's like, oh, he scored 142 points. That doesn't matter. We did not build the habits that we need in that second half.
Little overreaction there. You just came off an emotional win. You just came through kind of a tough stretch of opponents, and you didn't come out flat. You jumped on Utah. You spanked him in the first half. There was going to be an inevitable letdown. I think he kind of overreacted a little bit with, you know, the whole grumpiness after the win type thing.
No, I mean, he stayed consistent to who he is. Like, you guys don't play defense. You have that kind of mental lapse. Ticks him off. I'm okay with that. Not over. It wasn't over the top. He's happy with the win. Well, I've been in a bunch of those locker rooms where we won, but the coach just looks at like, you guys, it's like the father, like, you really disappointed him. You really disappointed
him. If they come right off the win over the Celtics, I would understand if they came out and were flat to start the game and then got it going, but they were up 78-44 at the half.
That's probably harder to maintain your mental aptitude at that point. But he wanted him to do it.
And meanwhile, the Avalanche kicked off their new look group. But they got some rough news over the weekend, which maybe gives us some indication of why they were so aggressive with their moves at the trade deadline. It was almost at some point we were like, well, geez, they got to have enough spots for everybody. You know, it seems like some guys are going to be left out. But we find out that Logan O'Connor, the pride of DU, who is having a terrific, terrific season, having to undergo season-ending hip surgery. So they knew that was coming in all likelihood, and that had a big impact. Good news, I guess, was that they knew the severity of this injury and what it would mean before the trade deadline so that they were able to go out and address it. So busy, busy weekend, a lot to react to. Russell Wilson's now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Open up the RamosLaw.com text line to you, 303-713-1043. And up next, some quarterback moves and rumors over the weekend that affects the Broncos, potentially. We'll fill you in next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to it. 6 a.m. listeners. I had a shout out from one of our like 5:30 listeners saying, hey, you got to mention the 5:30 listeners who are already up and rolling by this time of the day. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You 5:30, 5 a.m. listeners already attacking the day. Way to go. Some immediate reaction to Russell Wilson going to be signing when it's all official. The league and a league year starting and everything going to be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. A 1 year deal, veteran minimum, about $1.2 million. Which means the Broncos will be on the hook for $37.8 million. Dick Monfort sitting back, applauding. Well done, well done.
Yes.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. Ship him out.
Ship him out and
pay for it.
Pay for it.
I wonder how the Rusties feel about they've got so much confidence in Russell Wilson. They gave him a 1 year, 1.2 minimum wage. Like that's a deal. Like you're going to come in here and compete.
Yep.
With Tiny Hands, Kenny Pickett.
Yep.
Now Rudolph is a free agent, right?
Yep.
So I'm assuming he'll be gone.
Yep.
Who else was in there?
Oh, Trubisky.
Trubisky.
He went back to he signed back with Buffalo.
Yeah. All right, so you're just competing with Kenny Pickett.
Looks like it.
All right.
The decision. Pittsburgh style.
That's
right. Hand out those T-shirts. We've been through that.
Mm-hmm.
Today was a Drew day. Today was a Teddy day.
Yeah.
Today was a Pickett day. Today was a Russ day. Oh,
gosh,
have fun.
Can you imagine?
Have fun with that Steeler Nation.
If you combine the two.
Combine?
Like the big hands of Russell Wilson. But he's just short.
Uh-huh.
Just put the big hands of Russell Wilson on the body of Kenny Pickett.
That's right.
Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Hall of Fame.
Reaction coming in already on the RamosLaw.com text line. Guys, what'd you think about Courtland Sutton's post on Instagram that said they just playing with my emotions at this point? Perhaps it's time to move on from 14 as he may no longer be emotionally invested. Yeah, I'm surprised he's still on the team.
I am too. And I wonder if there's a trade in the works, if they're trying to do the same thing they did with Jerry, moving him, you know, and dumping that salary as opposed to cutting him. So that may take a little bit of time. But I thought for sure Jerry Jeudy is one of my guys, right, that I thought would be gone. Corden was one of my guys that I thought would be gone. Bolsey, I thought a renegotiation maybe with Bolsey, and then I don't think they're re-signing any of their free agents. Cush, I don't think he's going to get re-signed. Josie Jewell, the outlaw, I don't think he's going to get re-signed. I mean, what's your initial take on that stuff? I mean, you've already gotten this far. What'd they get, $30 million under the cap? Have I not been telling you guys that, like, the cap is fungible? It is, you know, all the scare tactics out there. I mean, it's still not ideal, don't get me wrong, but can you manage it? Yeah, of course you can.
All these guys that are gone were all part of 6, 7, 8 win teams. If you can go 6-11... 7-10, 8-9 with these guys, you can certainly do it without.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really lamenting anybody at this point that's left. They re-signed P.J. Locke over the weekend.
Right.
Smart, quick move. If you're going to let Justin Simmons go, you can't leave yourself obviously thin at that position. So, you know, you've got P.J. Locke. You got a healthy, hopefully healthy return for Caden Stearns. It's a nice place to start. Not a bad place to start.
Right.
I don't think they're done at all. It's going to be a very, very deep safety market out there. And I would anticipate the Broncos being able to get themselves a pretty good deal on a veteran safety.
One guy's already off the market, Kevin Byard. Because remember, he got traded from Tennessee to Philadelphia last year. Then Philadelphia let him go, and now Chicago signed him.
Okay.
He's a good player. Really good player.
Nick in Jacksonville, Vermont, listening. How is George Payton on the chopping block? We can naysay these players all we want, but George is the one picking the groceries. Well, he was the one picking the groceries. He's not picking any groceries now. He's been given a shopping list. Much right. Like, you know, when your wife gives you a shopping list and you go out.
You can't find anything.
I get so frustrated. When I get sent on these things, plus, like, it seems like every grocery store, like, is constantly changing their look now, right? Mm-hmm. So aisles are being moved. Wherever something was in aisle 6 is now in aisle 8, and you know, I'm bad.
I tell my wife, as soon as she sends me on an error, I say, have your phone close
yes,
by.
Exactly.
I will be FaceTiming you.
Oh, at least 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Is this the right one?
Yeah.
Let's just send pictures. Let's just send a picture with a question mark.
Yeah.
Is this right?
Yeah.
No, he's just, that's who George Payton is now.
What did you think, would you be surprised if they get through this free agency process and the draft process, and after the draft he's let go?
George?
That wouldn't surprise me, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know that it's going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it did.
Don't you think if it was going to happen that Sean would have put his guy in place? This is a crucial offseason.
No, I understand that.
That he would, if he had somebody in mind, he would do it now. He would have done it during the season before all this.
Well, all during the season is where you're doing all your pro scouting evaluation.
True.
All your free agency evaluation during the season. And then you're doing, obviously, your draft process, too, during the season. So rather than all that work that's been done, rather than eliminate that guy, let him carry it out through this thing, and then as soon as the draft is over, then I take over. Isn't that kind of the transition that happened between Elway and, what was the guy's name?
Brian Zanders. Yep. Zanders stuck around for a year just to kind of give John a one-year heads-up on how to run the organization. And then John was like, okay, I got it now. I'll take it from here. Could be the same thing.
But it's so collaborative.
Yeah, it's so collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. There's a lot of George Payton venom out there. But just understand that whatever role George had before, he doesn't have it now. Okay? He's the one being sent out with the grocery list.
Yeah.
It's the best way to put it. You know, whenever you go to the grocery store and you see some poor guy out there just staring for minutes at the aisles and staring, just hoping that an answer will come to him, roaming around the store with a lost look on his face, that's George Payton, everybody.
Every time George goes to make a pick, he sends the picture of the,
Sean.
The player.
This one? Sean.
This one?
No, not that one. Morning Brew coming up next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Well, it's not exactly official, but it's as official as you can get right now, as Russell Wilson is going to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. His team already put out a slick looking forward to going to Pittsburgh video on his social media pages. You can check that out. Little Styx Renegade background music.
Yeah, way to ruin a great song.
Russ is going on the veteran minimum, about $1.2 million, which means the Broncos are paying the rest of it, some $37.8 million to pay for Russell Wilson to play with the Steelers. And oh, just to make it a little juicier, the Steelers come here this year.
Nice.
Maybe even the opener to the season.
No, that would be great.
Russ, for all of your complaints about Russ, the Russ you saw last year, does he beat out Kenny Pickett for the starting job in Pittsburgh?
It's a great question. If it really depends on how well they implement the play action, the play pass, the boot action stuff, the run action and play pass, and how well they run the football under Arthur Smith. If they can do those things with multiple tight ends and stuff, then it'll simplify reads and not have a real progression offense, then yeah, I think he could beat out Kenny Pickett. Now, if they want to be more diverse and have a deeper offense, then I would say no.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider. Recap, the numbers are in. The Broncos paid Russell Wilson almost $123 million for 2 seasons. Next on the Morning Brew, Jerry Jeudy traded to Cleveland for 5th and 6th round draft picks. Also got rid of his contract, which freed up about $13 million of cap space. Ultimately, what will Jerry Jeudy's legacy as a Bronco be?
Bust. Just another wide receiver taken in the first round. Highest wide receiver ever taken here in Denver in the draft at 15 overall. You know who's drafted behind him? Justin Jefferson.
CeeDee Lamb.
I think
CeeDee Lamb went. Yeah.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah, don't look at the receivers that got taken after, Jerry. You'll be sick.
Yeah, Ayuk. Yeah, he was like 30, 31. Dude, it just is. I mean, you know what your worth is. You are a first rounder who you're still on your rookie deal, and you got traded for a fifth and sixth rounder.
And depending on what happens with Lloyd Cushenberry and Justin Sternad, if neither one returns to the Broncos, it would mean that everybody from John Elway's last two drafts are gone. 2019, 2019, and 2020. Gone.
Oh, man. Hey, and if Courtland Sutton and Josie Jewell, I don't expect Josie Jewell to resign here, right?
Right.
If Courtland Sutton's gone, that means everybody from their last three drafts.
Yeah.
That should be the core of your football team.
Exactly. Right now, that should be the core of, yes, your
18,
playoff,
19, 20.
Playoff caliber team, yes.
Yeah. Nobody.
Next on the...
They're all dead, sir.
Well, see you later.
Next on the Morning Brew. Wow, have you ever heard a coach so upset after a win? The Nuggets come out after their win over the Celtics the other night and then get Utah in town. Classic letdown type game, but Nuggets came out, jumped on the Jazz. They're up 78-44 at the half, but then they gave up 44 points in the third quarter to have the Jazz somewhat make a game of it, but still went on to comfortably win 142-121. 142-121 was the score. Keep that in mind as you listen here to Michael Malone.
It was embarrassing. You know, I can hear my father, who's up in heaven. I hope he's up in heaven. But every time we get a big lead, he said it. You guys are the same old Nuggets. For 9 years now, you get a big lead, stop playing, stop doing what got you the lead, and you let teams back in almost every single night. So I could, my father is right here tonight talking to me saying, I told you so.
Bit harsh.
Wow. Same harsh. Old Nuggets.
I, all right, as a player, and I've always given Michael Malone high marks. He clearly knows his basketball team. Over the last several years, in this whole journey to where they are now as NBA champions, clearly Michael Malone has had the correct pulse, finger on the pulse of his team, because whenever he's called them out, they've always responded the very next day. So he knows what buttons to push. I would think that this one, though, was accompanied by some eye rolls from the players. Like, really, coach? We just beat the Celtics. We jump out to a 78-44 lead. All right, so we weren't perfect for 48 minutes, but...
We're the reigning world champions. There are no moral victories.
Well,
I don't know. I thought
it was a bit much.
Well, I mean, you're trying to defend a championship. Dude, you're going to have to... Let me ask you a question. Come playoff time, do you need to play 48 minutes?
No, it's basketball. It's the nature of the game. It's runs. It's ebbs and flows. No, nobody. Very rarely will you see a team play a complete 48 minutes. There's usually going to be runs.
Okay, let me ask you this.
He even said after the game, he goes, "We knew the Jazz would make a run." Okay, coach, they made a run.
All right, so
don't freak out.
There's a difference between the team making a run and you allowing a run because you just decided not to. There's a difference between getting streaky shooting and knocking down some shots that are well defended and just basically quit playing defense.
When you guys beat at the height of your powers in the second championship year, remember the Dallas game here? I think you scored on your first...
Seven possessions, I believe.
Yes, but it was your first five possessions in the half. I think you're up like 35-3 at the half or something like that. It was an absolute clinic. You're telling me that in the second half, there wasn't a little bit of a... exhale, a little bit of a letdown. You didn't keep the same intensity in the second half as you did in the first half when you were going up 35-3.
I think the intensity was the same. I think the results weren't exactly the same. And I think part of that was because we sat down Terrell Davis. Like when the coach waves the flag, then, you know, you understand. And the other thing is you stop, like, in the NFL, there's kind of a code where you stop putting the ball in the air. You stop doing some of the things you were doing early. And it's just like, okay, run into the middle. Let's stop. So it's not the intensity that stops. It's the coaches basically, from a play calling standpoint, let off the gas a little bit.
Next on the Morning Brew, Nuggets, by the way, hosting at the Toronto Raptors, the return of Bruce.
Brucey Bruce. Bruce is back.
Check in and see what Bruce has been up to lately here coming up. In the meantime, the Avalanche kicked off their new-look squad with a win over Minnesota the other night. Jared Bednar, happy to acclimate his new guys.
I thought the new guys did a nice job coming in, and all of them, and contributing. So got to keep working on the chemistry, do some teaching here. We have a perfect schedule for it now. We get a day off to rest tomorrow. You got to remember, too, all those new guys coming in last couple days into altitude, you could tell they were feeling it. And we didn't. Some of them probably didn't have their jump and lungs that you'd want them to have in order to be big difference makers, but they all played well.
And we did learn a little bit more about why they were so aggressive in addressing third and fourth line players at the deadline, as they announced yesterday that Logan O'Connor, who's been battling a hip injury, will be having hip surgery and will be out for the season, which is a tough one because LOC, the Pride, the DU Pioneer, was having a career season. And that's a loss. That's a loss. They certainly have gone out and brought in replacements to try to make up for the loss of Logan O'Connor, but he was having a terrific year, so that one definitely stings. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. There's a lot to react to with the Nugs, the Avs, everything going on with the Broncos. Russell Wilson will open up the RamosLaw.com text line to you, 303-713-1043, and also why one of my dreams was dashed over the weekend. That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, today is, I guess it's the first day of NFL free agency. Some of the rules for today. So, teams cannot begin engaging with agents, right, until 10 o'clock a.m. our time. That's when legal tampering can begin. Watch how many moves, watch how many deals you hear are agreed to by about 10-10.
Oh, yeah, it'll be 10-0-0-30 or semicolon or colon 30. I mean, with 30 seconds in, you're going to have a bunch of deals coming out.
Deals can be agreed to but not finalized, which means players can back out and change their minds. But deals can start to be announced starting at 10 o'clock this morning. Already some moves coming with players who were released by their teams and thus be able to sign right away. Russell Wilson, chief among them, going to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a one-year deal at the veteran minimum, $1.2 million. Broncos picking up the tab for the remaining $37.8 million. We knew it was coming, but that still kind of stings when you say it out loud. Jags are signing former Bills center Mitch Morse. He was let go by the Bills. He signs a two-year deal. Graham Glasgow, still hanging around, re-signed with Detroit. Three-year deal with about $9.5 million in guarantees. So Graham Glasgow still going about his career. Good for Graham Glasgow. And in case you missed it over the weekend, Mac Jones, Squishy Mac, got traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
A sixth-round pick for a guy who was taken 15th overall. By the way, how's that 2021 draft class looking?
Gosh, right? There's Trevor Lawrence, still questions.
When this is all said and done, Trevor Lawrence will be the only quarterback of the five that went in the top 15 to still be with the team that drafted him. Everybody else is going to be gone somewhere else.
Yeah, Fields is still in Chicago for now.
For now.
Although the report on Fields right now, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, that the trade value just isn't there, that teams look at that like, I'd rather have Sam Darnold or Drew Lock than Justin Fields. How's that going for all the people that were trying to anoint Justin Fields as the next thing?
Well, I always laughed when people said that he'll be able to fetch a first round pick in a trade. I was like, no, are you crazy?
Right.
Are you nuts? So those are some of the moves that we're hearing about thus far. A report over the weekend was that the Broncos were interested in Kirk Cousins, but then Diana Rossini came out and said, yesterday that that's not the case. That one just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like if you're willing to tear this thing down, if you're willing to move on from a lot of players just to scratch out some semblance of salary cap that you can use to work on in free agency, why would you turn around and basically use it all on Kirk Cousins?
Correct. Kirk Cousins, this place doesn't make sense for Kirk Cousins. Like, in all seriousness, Kirk Cousins needs to go somewhere where he's older, he's coming off, he's got to go somewhere that's young, that's got an opportunity to win. Like Atlanta, I'm telling you, if Atlanta had a decent quarterback last year, they win that South Division going away. I mean, that thing is ripe for the picking. You roll in there, you got Henry Morris is the head coach. You've got Raheem Morris.
Too soon.
You got Raheem Morris being the head coach, good defensive guy. You got a good young defense, really good, a lot of good players. And offensively, man, you got a bunch of weapons. Yeah, I mean, you've got a bunch of good offensive line, some great players on that O-line. Man, I tell you what, they'll win that division, I believe.
The Jerry Jeudy time here in Denver, what was his legacy known for? Jerry Jeudy on the text line. Jeudy was like Stink's gun show. Underwhelming.
Jeudy! Whoa. Now, we've already established that Rogue didn't know what underwhelming meant. Because I redeemed myself.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I redeemed myself.
So you don't think that there's any potential? Because the one out I've always given Jeudy throughout all of this is, how is it that over these last 7-8 years, we have correctly pounced on, criticized coaching moves, offensive coordinators, quarterbacks? How can you be all in agreement that the quarterback play and a lot of the offensive coordinating hasn't been that good, and think that that's not going to impact the way the receivers play, since they play a dependent position, most of them? So did we ever truly, really get a correct evaluation on Jerry Jeudy? And is this one of those moves that could make the Broncos look bad as he moves on deeper into his career?
All right, so let me just address that really quick.
Please do.
Because I think that's a good question. It's the difference between looking at stats and watching a game and breaking it down, watching coaches' film. Russell Wilson was 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and had a quarterback rating of 98 or something. I mean, I had people spitting those stats in my eyes all day long. Watch what he doesn't do. Watch the inefficiency in the middle of the field. Watch him never throw anybody open. People say, well, if he just had a tight end, he doesn't throw it to the tight ends. He didn't see it. He doesn't throw it there. So you can sit there and spit stats in my eyes about this, that, and the other. I know what I see on film. And I know when I watch Jerry Jeudy, you don't have to have a great coordinator or a great quarterback to actually block people in the running game, to actually run a secondary route and run it like to draw coverage to open other guys up. It's selfish. It lacks football integrity and character. That's who he is.
Coming up, four down territory, the Avs moves, and they made a flurry of them at the trade deadline. Got the ultimate endorsement, the ultimate seal of approval, as you'll hear next.